Mary and Brian with you, and coming up this Saturday up in Harrisonburg at James Madison University, the 6th District Republicans are going to have a convention to decide their nominee as far as the election in the fall to replace long-serving Congressman Bob Goodlatte. And we have one of the sort of, I guess, the gaggle of them, one of the, I guess, I'm going to say top two of the contenders here. He's the delegate. Ben Klein represents Lexington, Rockbridge area down into Amherst up in Richmond. And Delegate Klein, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Brian. Mary, it's great to be back with you again.
Good morning.
And so a lot of times something like this, we'll start off with, you know, if our audience doesn't know too much about you, tell us a little something about yourself, why you started to run. We've talked to you any number of times since you've been in the House of Delegates, so I'll just jump in and start with what made you decide that you wanted to move up to the federal level and become a congressional representative?
Well, you know, I've been battling Richmond liberals for many years, and standing up even to my party leadership when I have to as chairman of the conservative caucus. I've got to keep my leadership on a conservative track. So I've been fighting the battles for many years down in Richmond, as I've been on your show and talked about, and fighting for transparency in government and fighting for balanced budgets and accountability. And you know, the fights in Washington are really becoming very serious, and it needs somebody who's going to get up there and fight the good fight, but also who has the experience, who has the conservative bona fides to get the job done and bring back you know, the results that the 6th District needs.
Well, on that, something your opponents will say is that you are for the establishment conservative Republican. We are now in the age of Trump, a more populist party, and that you are not suited for the new party.
Well, that's untrue. In fact, most of the Trump team has endorsed me, and Stuart Jolly, Mike Rubino. It's been an honor to receive all of these endorsements. I just had a robocall from Sean Spicer, who was endorsed the campaign and been a great supporter. So they know who's going to get up there and be a partner to our president in draining the swamp and making sure that we hold our elected officials accountable. I want to get up there and make Washington smaller, put more money back into the pockets of taxpaying families, making sure that that transparency is the rule of the day instead of all these backroom deals that are the law of the land, not only up in Washington, but apparently in our own 6th District Committee as well. You know, you talk about the establishment, but apparently the establishment in the 6th District Republican Committee has already decided who's going to be their nominee, and they've been trying to rig this convention the whole time to put their nominee out there as the one who's going to get it, and there's no need to have a convention. But that's not what my supporters say. We're going to be there on Saturday, and I hope that everybody is going to be there to help me get up to Washington and help President Trump drain the swamp.
Well, let's talk about that. As long as you've brought it up, certainly we would never have. The convention, we were going to have a primary, then it went to a convention, and at one point it was going to be only a plurality of the votes would be needed on a first ballot. One of your opponents, Cynthia Dunbar, at one point was working for the chairman of the 6th District Committee, Scott Sayre, and we should note we've invited both of them on the program. We have had no luck yet. But it is hard with some of the rules up there, including trying to keep the Rockbridge delegation out of the convention. It's hard not to think that, at the very least, the committee has its thumb on the scales and is looking to install Ms. Dunbar as the nominee.
Well, it's disappointing because we want a fair and open convention where the delegates have their say. And so all through the process, that's all we've been saying. Give us a fair, open process. And it started from Goodlatte's retirement, where the 6th District Committee said instead of a multi-ballot process where you have a majority of the convention hall getting behind their nominee, they wanted a plurality where you have one vote and somebody in an eight-person race could become the nominee with 20, 25, 30% of the vote and not unify our party and come out weak against the Democrats in the fall. And that's not what we need. We need unity in our party. We need a strong party nominee, and I'm going to be that nominee. But it started early, and then it went to not releasing the delegate lists on time, holding them back from myself, my campaign, and other campaigns, and her campaign officials allegedly having early access to the lists. And here at the end, they're trying to decredential hundreds of delegates, most of them mine, people telling people they can't come, they can't vote. It's all just very disappointing, and we're fighting through it because we know at the end of the day, my supporters really want to get up there and help drain the swamp. I'm the nominee to go do that, and so they're going to show up on Saturday excited to help get that done and nominate me to go up there and help our president.
Now, we are nothing if not self-interested in talk radio, and one of the things we noted, they were going to ban media from the floor of the convention. That has been rescinded, but as we were talking off the air, John Fredericks, who is a talk show host here in Virginia, he will not be there, but not because he's just not allowed to show up.
Well, my understanding is that the rules for the convention were in flux, and at one point they were not allowing media on the floor. That's, again, contrary to many convention rules in the past. There was talk of not having children on the floor with their parents who were delegates, but that has been rescinded as well. I'm glad that the rules seem to be moving in the right direction, and the Rules Committee chairman has done a great job in trying to accommodate everybody, but that pressure for the media to be excluded got to the point where even after they were allowed on the floor, certain members of the committee weren't allowing them to have tables on the floor for their equipment. They weren't allowing them to have plugs for their radio equipment. This is all coming from John Fredericks, the radio show host, who finally decided, enough, I'm going to pull out. And now we don't even know if there's going to be anybody to broadcast the convention. It's very distressing. It goes against the First Amendment freedom of the press. We want a fair and open convention, and that's what we're going to be fighting for from day one.
Are you, you know, we're talking about 3 days away. Are you walking into this convention really not knowing what's, like, what's going to happen, what rules will be in place? And are you, you know, really believing that some of your delegates will be disqualified?
No, we are optimistic because the rules are in our favor. The rules set up by the Republican Party of Virginia are rules that favor openness, that favor credentialing delegates at your local unit. So the Lynchburg unit credentialed several hundred delegates, and they sent them in, and now the 6th District Committee and my opponent's campaign have challenged some of these credentialed delegates and said, well, we might give you provisional delegates or credentials and let you come in, and maybe late in the convention we'll let you vote. That's not the way the rules work. The rules are, if you were credentialed by Lynchburg or Bedford or Amherst, you get to show up in Harrisonburg and vote for the temporary chairman, who we hope will be Jack Wilson, who will then encourage fair and open rules, a normal convention process. So everybody who's credentialed, come on up to Harrisonburg. If somebody puts in a challenge late to your credentialing, you'll be able to reaffirm your commitment to the Republican Party and then proceed and vote for the congressional ballot. But that they're not going to be able to take away your vote when you get there. That's something that's guaranteed by the rules of the Republican Party.
We're speaking with Ben Klein, Delegate Ben Klein, who's seeking the GOP nomination in the 6th District congressional race. You know, and back to what you stand for and what you hope to accomplish in Washington. You know, Republicans, you're talking about draining the swamp. Republicans disappointed a lot of people with the omnibus spending bill. I've heard it described as the GOP-led House hosting a drunken orgy of bipartisan fiscal recklessness. How can you tell us that you would be any different in Congress?
Absolutely, because the more that we send conservatives who are going to work with groups like the Freedom Caucus, conservative leaders up there in Washington, the more that we're going to have conservative budgets that cut spending instead of this omnibus bill that was a disaster that did fund Planned Parenthood and increase spending beyond the budget limits. And it's just more of the same. We can't have more of the same. We need change. We need real reform. Our president is trying to get that change done, and he needs a Congress that helps him. You know, I'm fighting down in Richmond right now against Medicaid expansion. The same type of fight. The establishment leadership in the House has said, well, let's just go ahead and bust the budget spending levels, provide a new source of funding for Planned Parenthood, fund Medicaid expansion, increase taxes in the budget. And I worked with the conservative caucus to get a majority of House Republicans, two-thirds of House Republicans, to oppose their own budget. We actually voted against the budget and forced our leadership to team up with the Democrats to pass their budget. And the Senate's holding firm against Medicaid expansion. Steve Newman, Mark Peek, they're doing a great job holding firm against Medicaid expansion. We hope that the House leadership will relent and pass a simple, balanced budget that doesn't do all of this new liberal spending, and go ahead and we can get a budget and send it to the governor and fund our local teachers and sheriffs and other initiatives.
And let me ask you something we've talked about with you during sessions of the General Assembly is attempting to essentially privatize more of what the government does, contract, work out, things like that. There have been fits and starts trying to do that with the federal government, petered out in the last few years. Do you think that there is a future for privatization on the federal level as well as the state level?
Absolutely. Privatization has been an initiative that I've been leading on for many years. I sponsored the Yellow Pages test from one of my early sessions, which essentially, you know, we don't have Yellow Pages anymore. That's how old the bill is. But, you know, if it's in the Yellow Pages, private sector should be doing it. Government should not be doing it. So if you can go find lawn care for University of Virginia in the Yellow Pages, and you don't have to have a bunch of state employees with state pay and state benefits, then go to the private sector, because there are a lot of hardworking men and women out there who run small businesses trying to make it, and they don't need to be competing with state employees. They need to be making their own profits and earning their own success, and the state government can help that by contracting with private businesses instead of promoting government employees.
And then one final thing, that looking at a pretty fractious convention right now, and it's sort of a two-part question. If you're the nominee, do you think you can really make sure that the party's going to be unified and behind you and not have a huge upset loss to a Democratic nominee in the fall? And should you not get the nomination, would you support the eventual nominee of the party?
Well, our party is strong, and we are united, and we are going to emerge from this convention all one party, united around our nominee, and taking it to the Democrats in the fall, because we have the positive agenda for success as the Republicans. We are the party of private enterprise. We are the party of you know, bringing people together. Look at what our president's doing in Korea. Look at, you know, the moving the embassy in Jerusalem. He's the in Israel to Jerusalem. He's the one who's getting things done. And majority values are Republican values. So I believe that uniting that party, I will be able to bring all sides together. You know, I'm a strong conservative with 100% ratings from the Family Foundation and an A-plus from the NRA, which has endorsed my campaign. So I have the conservative bona fide, but I also have results. You know, you can go online and find out subcommittee votes now on the Internet, because I held my leadership's feet to the fire on the rules at the beginning of this session and got that changed. So openness and transparency are the watchword of the day. We're going to make sure that Saturday's an open convention, and that I emerge as the nominee for the Republicans for the 6th District.
But not to put too fine a point on it, should that not happen, will you support whomever the nominee might be?
Hey, I'm a Republican, and I'm going to support Republicans.
Very good. All right, Delegate Ben Klein, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys.